Let's say Discord. You get a special role on Discord if you are a supporter of the project. That could happen if you do it for Patreon, or you can do it as an NFT. And then the process would be that you verify that you have the asset. There are bots for that where you can connect the Discord user name you have with your Wax accounts. You verify that you actually have control of it. You could verify that the user has it. And when they don't have it, you could also listen for that, and you could remove that permission. So this could be done on blockchain smart contract level that listen for the notifications for movement of the assets, or you could do it off chain by using one of the streaming APIs or things like that.
I live unbanked off of cryptocurrency, and I use BitRefill extensively because it lets me pay with crypto at places that don't yet accept it directly. This one service, more than any other, helps me live on crypto, pay your prepaid phone bill, or buy gift cards to thousands of major retailers around the world, all with cryptocurrency, including for exact amounts so you don't have to buy more gift credit than you need for a specific purchase. You can use BitRefill without an account, but if you get an account, you can earn rewards points, which translate to savings, and you can also hold a balance denominated in dollars or euros to protect yourself against market crashes. Go to bitrefill.com, click Create Account, and enter the referral code DCN, or follow the link in the description.
Hey everyone, I have the fantastic pleasure of speaking with Anders, also known as Any Observation. How's it going, man?
It's going good. It's an interesting time. A lot of movement and a lot of projects, positive and negative, happening right now.
Yeah, for sure. So would you mind just telling everyone really quick who you are, what you do, etc.?
Yeah, I work full-time in crypto, running blockchain infrastructure for the last few years. 3 years, I think it is now. And on top of that, I create educational content, I manage communities, and a little bit of everything to try to help people better understand how crypto, blockchain, NFTs work, what you can do with them, how you can protect your assets, and everything there. So I've been working full-time for a few years, and on blockchains like Wax, EOS, Proton, Ultra, FIO, Cosmos, we're running Binance Smart Chain API nodes and Ethereum API nodes and things like that.
Very nice. So the reason we're chatting is because I've been kind of on a quest to pin down practical NFTs. Because at first, when I heard about NFTs like anyone else, it seemed like I understand the value as a digital collectible. It's kind of nice, but it seemed to be just kind of like that's where it ends. And then, of course, that's 99% of the market, maybe. I mean, it's a huge percentage of the market is just going towards here's this little artwork or thing like that, this digital collectible, sell them and then resell them. It's just like it was kind of back to like the ICO craze where everyone was buying ICO tokens, even though they didn't do anything practical, and then just hoping they could resell them better. And mostly they
big didn't. Promises on white papers.
Yes. Although even the NFT world, there's not even white papers. It's a lot of just like, this is what you get. It's a pixelated orangutan.
Yeah, best case, they have an FAQ with some information, and perhaps they have a team page with some real or not so real people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at some point, I started to, think a little more about it, think about what could be done. And then I've heard of some people saying, oh, what about on real estate? What about a bunch of other things? And so that made me start to dig because I want to go in that direction. I want to see what is possible, but not just what is possible. I'm especially interested in what can be possible today, as in what is done, being done right now, that it's not. Because I remember back in the day, when I first learned about Ethereum, back when it's like, oh, everything can run in Ethereum. You could do this. You could do that. You could run a little smart contract to rebuy milk for your refrigerator when it's out or whatever, like all this kind of stuff that just, and I think that Ethereum is turned quite interesting and successful since then, but for entirely different reasons and use cases. So all that being said, what are the most interesting things you can see NFTs used for today?
Yeah, good question. And just to also take on the take about like collectibles, NFTs, when I got into NFTs, I didn't understand why anyone would buy them. I did not see any value. Hey, you buy something for a collectible and then you sell it later. And I thought it was stupid. And now I live and breathe NFTs and have done so for the last 1.5, 2 years. And a bunch of things that I think, like utility is something that is necessary for an NFT in my view. Either the NFT is sold as some kind of a way to fund something as a fundraiser, or instead of a Patreon for content creation, that's what I'm doing. I'm selling NFTs to support the content I create. Instead of having a Patreon for people to donate on, I sell some NFTs and they can buy them to support me. And they may not be worth anything, but they buy them to help me spend the time I do on my content. But then we have real utility. And I mean, today what you can do, I actually started to create an article about a year ago, 1.5 years ago, probably, about utility on NFTs. And we have like art is the most common one on many blockchains, but we have game items, which is very interesting. When you can play a game and you can own the assets. So even if the game shuts down, you still have the assets. The assets can be imported into something new. And the game, we have a few games back in history where they have just deleted items from people and removed them from the game completely. So they don't have anything, no memory of it, nothing. And even if you have an NFT for a game, it might not have any value later, but at least you have something out of memory. You own the asset. You can, if you want in the future, use that asset to build something new from it. But something that is very simple, an idea is to have tickets as NFTs. That is also a great utility, where a ticket is essentially an NFT on paper form, but an NFT would ensure that they are not fake, they are not copied in any way, and you could resell them at an instant and everyone knows it's legit. And like tokenizing physical goods is another good example, where you could have you could have collectibles that are physical form, like sneakers, trading cards, art, things like that. You can tokenize it as an NFT and then you can sell that NFT. And you can actually trade the asset, keeping it in a safe storage somewhere. And you can still trade that. And that is done on many blockchains now. The team behind the Wax blockchain actually have the patent for doing that as a technology for a few years back. They have not enforced it yet, so that will be interesting to see what they do. They call it VIRL. And they have a patent for tokenizing things and then trading them as digital goods on blockchain.
Have you seen much of that happening? Because I do remember seeing like a video explaining what those NFTs were like, and I thought, wow, this is actually interesting. And there was a time when we bought a grill, and the in-laws also bought a grill, and it was kind of like, well, do we both need them? And there's a sale going on right now, and like, well, let's just buy both of them just in case. But it would have been way better if we could have just bought them as NFTs, held on to them in case we decide we needed one or another, and then could have like resold them without having to transport a large item all the way over there. But so do you know, I haven't found any information on this being applied right now. Do you know any companies or things like that are doing it?
Yeah, they are. There are a few, well, there are more and more doing it. One big company that is doing it is Funko. So if anyone don't know what that is, they create these small bobbly head characters, and they have digital Funkos now where you can buy NFTs. And if you get some of the rare ones, you can exchange them for their physical form. I have a few behind me on my shelf. Mm-hmm. There are from these Funko collections, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and some Iron Maiden things is on the way. And then we have the small cars, I always forget what they are called. Mm-hmm. Hot Wheels. They also have, they are doing the same thing where you have redeemable NFTs for physical assets. Mm-hmm. And then there is a company out of the US that does this for collectible cards, where they fractionalize the collectible cards and then allow them to trade them inside their app as NFTs, which is very interesting as well. And then there are a bunch of other sneaker projects and things like that doing this. But I don't know. It is growing. It is coming more and more. I don't know what that means in the long term. I find it very interesting that I, being an NFT fan, that I can buy NFTs, trade NFTs, and then I can redeem it to get my digital Funkos, for example. I'm not a collector, but I find it interesting. So that's why I have them behind me on my shelf, because it's fun.
Yeah.
And I think that will grow more and more. Like, I see something in the future where we have a museum where each piece of art in that museum is an NFT, and you can actually sell fractionalized art pieces in the museum where you own it, but the museum has the rights for it and they protect it. They have the insurance and everything. But you have the ability to actually own things in a safe and secure location. And that is a fun little tokenized way you could do with art or collectibles in physical form in some way.
Yeah. So it's almost like, I know that some people have, you know, from the, in the precious metals world, you know, buy and trade gold and silver, things like that. And it's very, in small pieces, it's fine to transport. But when you're starting to have like big old bricks, they're left at a vault somewhere, and you just kind of trade ownership for that, and having an NFT for gold ownership, for example, just say like, this means I own this, and you could just transfer the rights everywhere. That kind of makes sense. So you mentioned, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, they do that. And then you have to trust the company that does this in the background. And that is how you can trade, because they have a centralized entity that does this. And it's it's the same thing, except that NFTs are a more decentralized way to trade these.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Wax blockchain in particular. And as we discussed before, when I started trying to get into NFTs and get into the space, obviously the top of the heap is Ethereum. And that was instantly ruled out because I haven't been able to transact on Ethereum in many years. And I'm just not into the whale games, right? And so, and then from some, you know, mutual friend suggestions and stuff, I looked into Wax, and it seems like there's quite the underground, I won't even see underground, but there's quite the community around a project that the regular crypto people, right? The people that look at like the top 50 coins on CoinMarketCap or whatever, just have no idea even exists. So do you want to go into Wax just a little bit and why you tend to use it or focus on it for NFTs?
Yeah, like, so I'm trading and buying NFTs on I don't know, six more active, 10 total or something. So I'm doing trying to do it all over the place, but for some reason I keep doing 90% of all, now probably 95% of all my NFT trading and activity on the Wax blockchain. It is the most fun project, communities, for some reason. I don't really know why. I keep trying to reach out and spend time on Tezos and Solana and Phantasma Chain and a bunch of these other blockchains that are not Ethereum and Polygon, but I keep just coming back and I don't really know why. It's something that attracts me. And we have, like, if you like collectibles, there are a lot of big brands there. Funko is dropping NFTs with big names like Scooby-Doo, Nickelodeon, Transformers, Iron Maiden, Turtles, things like that. That Atari has dropped NFTs, Street Fighter NFTs. Yeah, that's from Atari. We have Hot Wheels NFTs as well on Wax, and Topps has dropped the MLB Series 1, and they have dropped the Garbage Pail Kids. And there's a bunch of big name, big brands. And then there is a lot of play-to-earn games and NFT-based games, which are not directly play-to-earn, but they use NFTs in their games. And that is something that is growing. There is a really high-end... compared to other crypto games, it's a high-end FPS game where you can actually go and play it. It's smooth. It's very nice. It's a mixture of Counter-Strike Go and Quake, in my opinion. I just had a tournament in that, and there was a lot of fun. So it's a very competitive game. You can, there are a few glitches in it, but it's comparable to how you actually play a real first-person shooter game. Mm. And then there are a bunch of card games and your basic play-to-earn games that you can see on Binance Smart Chain and Solana, Ethereum, other things, where it's mainly card games or it's just a button which you do an action and then you wait a time and then you do an action and you wait a time and do another action. And on Wax, the pro is that you don't have to pay for every transaction. Instead, you buy tokens, then you stake them to your account, and then you got an allowance of things to do every day. So you
it's like buying capacity rather than
per exactly, and that refreshes every 24 hours. So if you do a lot of transactions, you can buy a chunk of Wax, you can have it staked, and then you can reuse that until you don't want anymore. Then you can unstake and you can sell it. And that means that a lot of dApps and projects can actually pay for these CPU resources for other people. Which means that if you buy NFTs on Atomic Hub, which is the biggest NFT marketplace on Wax, or NFT Hive, which is one of the big ones, you can actually go there and you don't need to stake these resources because that platform will pay for your transaction for this CPU, which costs them nothing except that they need to have a big chunk of money locked down in their staking pool.
It doesn't cost any extra per consumer. Once they already have the money, it doesn't cost them any extra.
Yeah, exactly. And sure, there's a limit. If there are millions and millions of users, they will not be able to stake for everything. But it is a neat system where you can play a dApp and they can actually help their users be a part of it, which lowers the barrier of entry. You can go, you can get started, and you don't need to have a big chunk of money to get into it, which is very attractive for me. I find it insane to go when I bought NFTs on Ethereum and you pay $200, $250 for the minting transaction, and then you pay another few hundred dollars for the actual NFT. It is not attractive for the majority of people unless you have a lot of crypto money from the start.
Yeah, and that kind of leads to those different use cases, I guess, right? Where I don't know how many, you know, play to earn type games would use Ethereum NFTs if just the cost of shuffling them around is very, you know, just prohibitive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I mean, on Wax right now, I think there are like 250 million NFTs or something around these numbers, which means it's a lot of them. And it's an active traded market. So there's a lot of NFTs trading daily. Today, there has been 40,000 NFT sales alone just the last 24 hours. And since the transactions are free, you can actually go down and you can sell an NFT for just a few cents and it's still a profit. And sure, the older projects that are not as attractive for the community right now, they don't trade as much as the new and shiny projects. I think that's the same for pretty much everything. And then we have some big projects that just keep trading, like Alien Worlds, which is one of the biggest play-to-earn games on any blockchain. So it's very attractive and becoming more and more user-friendly every day. There are issues with Wax, the same as issues on every blockchain. There are no perfect blockchain so far, but there are pros and cons, and there are trade-offs that you need to do depending on what you want to do and where you want to do it. But if you want to do a game that is for new people, or you want to do some kind of project that has a low barrier of entry, then you don't want to have expensive gas fees or complicated wallets and things like that.
Yeah, and so we're talking about the utility, like the practical utility. Let's get into the technical bits of that a little bit. So obviously for just trading that is, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory, or just buying for a collectible. Now when you do, when you would have it with games, obviously the game would probably have something that would just detect, like, check if your wallet has this specific NFT in it in order to unlock this functionality. And yeah, that seems like a relatively straightforward thing to build in. How do the VIRL NFTs work on a technical side? Like, how does it, how does the redemption process work on the, on like the technical side of the actual NFT?
Yeah, you need a third party that you can trust for it. We can't get around that. So usually what happens is that you either, to redeem it, you either burn the NFT and they get a notification of it, or you send the NFT to some place, or you actually just log in and verify that you have the assets, and that allow you to do it. And then you can have, on NFTs on Wax, for example, you can have mutable and immutable data on the same asset. So you can have data that cannot be changed, like the asset ID, the name, the whatever you choose to be on the mutable data, like stats or images or video or whatever. And then you can have mutable data that can be updated. So in that case, if you have a redeemable NFT, you can have the image for the asset being mutable data, or you can have a column that is mutable data that changes to redeemed. And it could be an image on top of the image, you have a redeemed message on it now or something like that to reduce the risk of people buying it when it's redeemed or similar to that. But mainly for all the worlds that I've seen now, there is a company behind it that has the stock of the asset in a warehouse or similar, and you communicate with them either through their website or through another function they have, and you verify that you have the NFT, you fill out the shipping information, perhaps you pay a shipping fee to get it to you, and then you have the physical asset. I made a painting, I think it's 2 years ago, I made a painting that I had backed with an NFT, but that people could redeem, and I gave them a deadline because I didn't want to keep that in a warehouse forever. But I kept it. They had a year from when I minted it for them to redeem it, and after that it's just an NFT. So yeah, I think there are a lot of fun use cases. Nothing is perfect when you mix blockchain and physical assets, because you still need the trust of the third party. But I think it's a very interesting way to move forward.
Now about subscriber NFTs or things like that. So let's say you have a YouTube channel or something, and you want to have a subscriber only room or a super chat or whatever, and you sell NFTs for that. Oh, how, what's the process of using that as a way of like authenticating people in?
Yeah, you would need some kind of API to talk to. So first, let's say Discord, you get a special role on Discord if you are a supporter of the project. That could happen if you do it for Patreon, or you can do it as an NFT. And then the process would be that you verify that you have the asset. Well, you verify that you have the account and your Discord account. And there are bots for that where you can connect the Discord user name you have with your Wax account. So you verify that you actually have control of it. Usually that is you buy, I think there is a 50 cent NFT or something like that you buy and send to show that you actually have that. And then your wallet is verified through, I don't know how many Discord channels use that bot right now, 20, 30, 40 Discord channels, perhaps more.
Which is this bot?
Honeycomb is the name of it, and they just updated it. So then you can verify that you have the wallet, and then that will look for any wallet that you have in that NFT that you have in your wallet, and then you can assign things depending on what you choose. You could do this yourself if you build a Python or a Node.js bot. You can just verify the account, make sure that they own the account, they own the NFT, and then you can automatically set their role. And then if they trade that NFT, you can have a notification on movements of NFTs in your collection. There is a function for that on Wax, where you can notify on a transfer or a burn action and things like that. And then you can get a notification, and on that notification you can perform an action with a smart contract on the blockchain, or you can do that off chain, and that way you could verify that the user has it, and when they don't have it you could also listen for that, and you could remove that permission. So this could be done on blockchain smart contract level, that listen for the notifications for movement of the assets. Or you could do it off-chain by using one of the streaming APIs or things like that. Listen to the Wax blockchain, and then you can talk to whatever chat service or website or whatever you want to lock some membership for. Of course, you would need some development time to do this because it's all new, and there are plug-and-play things, but they are lacking in some level.
Yeah, for sure. So if someone were to sell the NFT to someone else, instantly they'd get kicked out of the channel because it listens.
Yeah, you could set up that by using a smart contract and then listen to whatever happens in that smart contract.
So like, for example, a subscriber, a content creator might create, you know, an NFT that just says, oh, membership, this is that. And then in a mutable data field, just say like details of like, step one, go to the Discord. Step two, do this stuff. And then, therefore, if someone were to resell that on the market, then it would still have all the instructions of how to get into that chat.
Yeah, exactly. Or it can have a link to a website page that has this information or whatever solution someone wants.
So do you know much about a physical... like real IRL, right? Real world NFT authentication type stuff. So for example, let's just say I built an outside, like in my garage, I built a little bar there for me and my friends to just hang out in. And obviously, you know, it's kind of on my property, but it's not the house itself. But I'd like to give friends who I don't want to give keys to my own house, I'd like to give them access in there. And so I could give them an NFT that would allow them to unlock the door and get in into the bar to hang out. So in that case, do you know if that has been done yet? I mean, obviously it's a use case, but do you know if it's been done yet?
I don't know if it has been done in any automation. I know people have used some kind of ticket way that you show that you have it. But the solution for that is actually pretty simple. You could set up a smart contract on a website. Since Wax transactions are free, you could use a blockchain like that. And a transaction on Wax takes 0.5 seconds, which means that it's fast. You don't want someone to stay at the door for 5 minutes and wait for a full confirmation of the transaction. Yeah. So then they open their mobile wallet, they scan something, and then they hit sign, and then they are in. And then in the background you can just verify, and perhaps it takes 3 seconds to verify that the user that tried to log in actually has the NFT or not, and then they are in. So you would have some kind of door reader at the door. Every 24/7 gym has these things where you just have a chip on your arm or something, and you can just hit that, and you can connect it to when that touches, it checks that ID. And accounts connected to that ID, and if that ID still has the NFT, they can get in. And like the technical aspects of this already exist, it's just application for it that hasn't really happened yet, as I know it.
Yeah. Do you see a growing, I guess, demand for this sort of use case, or is the market still kind of mostly in the collectible or gaming world?
Good question. Majority of people are still not interested in these kind of things, but I would say that if you package this well, they wouldn't even need to know that they have an NFT. So you could use this for any type of membership, for any gym or similar to that, where when they sign up, they get an account, and that account is actually on a blockchain. The membership is an NFT. They just have that in the background, and if they in the future want to sell their membership, hey, it's 6 months left, they could just sell this NFT to someone else. And then the gym could have a 15% on each secondary sale or something to get some income from a new member coming. And then it would work automatically on the new user. And that could be for any type of membership service. And I don't know anyone that is doing it, but I don't see why people should not do it either on their own blockchain or on a public one that is fast and cheap to use. And there are many options for that.
Yeah, the resale thing seems to be where the money would be at for someone, because if you're talking about tickets, even like to a concert where they have ticket scalping all the time, and the people who sell tickets don't like scalpers because they make it harder for the people that they wanted to reach to receive the tickets, and then they make a lot of money, and you know, that could have been made by them, and it's a little annoying. But
yeah, they could force in their 5% or 10% share on the secondary markets, and that is an incentive for them to actually encourage this. They make more money, but it's more of a punishment for those that just buy it to sell it. I think that like blockchain could solve a lot of these things, and it doesn't have to be NFT, but NFT is a very good application. So application of everything, anything that needs to be verified.
The resale transferability seems to be what is a little more unique than just like forwarding on an email that has credentials to log in to something and then making that like the transactions all built in.
And like if we take Wax, for example, since I spend so much time there, there is one NFT standard that is mainly used. It's Atomic Assets. It's one smart contract. So if you launch NFTs, it's on that smart contract. You don't need to launch your own smart contract. Mm-hmm. You can launch your own collection using that smart contract. And what they also have is an Atomic Market smart contract where anyone can sign up to create their own NFT market and get the same liquidity as everyone else. So if you list an NFT on one of the markets on Wax, it will be on all of the markets on Wax, which means that if someone comes and has a better user experience, better anything, then that everyone can go there instead. And they would have the same NFTs, and you can work on attracting users to your site for whatever reason that may be. So if you are a ticket master type of company and you want to list them, and you can have your own store for that, but you can also allow them to sell it on other stores. And if they list it on other stores, it will also be listed on your store, which is really neat. It is a really neat way to have this shared liquidity for NFTs, which is not the case for a lot of blockchains, which I find interesting that they don't have that already. It's been a thing for 2 years already on Wax.
So the shared liquidity of marketplaces is not something that you do see on Ethereum, for example. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, majority of marketplaces, you list it on one marketplace. Some NFT sites, you even send the NFT to the marketplace. You don't even have it in your wallet anymore. On other, you approve a smart contract after a listing. If someone buys it, it takes it from your wallet. So there are both things that I've seen.
Wow. Yeah, it does seem to be a little bit of a step ahead of everything else. What are your favorite personal applications that you've used for NFTs? Like, what are the most interesting things you've done in your own life to kind of leverage this?
Yeah, so I buy a lot of NFTs for staking and for land ownership and for games. So I own lands in Alienworlds, for example, which means that other people that mine on that game can go to my land. And if they do that and mine on my land, I get a small share. I get a microtransaction for that. And then I get a daily payout for owning these NFTs. So I actually have a passive income. Mm-hmm. And then there are other projects where you can stake NFTs and you can earn their... So they launch a game or some kind of token, and then they add other collections to that. And then you can go and stake other collections to their platform, and you can earn this token that can be used inside their game. So my NFTs are stakeable on a project called Our Planet, which was really big. It pumped and then it crashed like most of these things.
Of course.
Yeah, and I do participate in a lot of these play to earn games. I find it fun. I find it interesting. I'm getting a little bit tired of it. It's just the same click game. Just a new graphic, just a new token. Perhaps they change one, two, three things, and it's all the same. And then we have a bunch of exciting things. And I'm a big gamer, so I look for a lot of these games that utilize NFTs in some way, like Splinterlands, Blancos, Forge Arena, Dark Country, and a lot of these games.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of economic movement from new NFT users into the rest of the crypto world? Meaning people get involved because they want to play a cool game or they want to buy some NFTs. And then because the NFT secondary marketplace is entirely in crypto, that when they're selling it, now they have crypto. And then instead of just selling it for euros in their bank account or whatever, they end up just staying in crypto, getting into other projects, doing stuff like that. Do you see it? Do you see that kind of cycle happening, or is it kind of mostly a contained ecosystem?
No, that is for sure happening. There's especially the big brands attract new users that are not in crypto already because they recognize the brands, they're a fan of it. Like Garbage Pail Kids, when that came, it brought a ton of new users that just love to collect the Garbage Pail cards that are a tops project way back, and they released that again. MLB, same thing. Deadmau NFT, same thing. Atari, Street Fighter, all of these big name that are just collectibles that are semi-interesting for NFT people and for collectors. It is very interesting and attractive for new people. And that's an entry point. And then they figure out, hey, there are these other awesome projects, big brands, big company. They release something, it's merch, it's a product, and then they forget about it and do the next thing. They forget about it, they do the next thing. Where NFT projects that us people that love NFTs, we want to see them engaged. We want to see them being a part of the community, doing something bigger, working with the community, building something that everyone can use. And there's people that come with the big brands, they see that, and then they complain about lack of engagement perhaps for some of these projects. And then they see other communities where they have good engagement, and they actually work with the community, and they talk with them, communicate, they upgrade things, they release new information, they add benefits to existing NFTs. Then they go there, and then they are into the community, and it just spreads. And of course, there are people that just go in and see this sucks and just leave and never come back as well.
Yeah, interesting. I've had kind of a theory that from seeing the kind of people who get into NFTs, it seems like they skip straight to it. In the old days, it was everyone came into Bitcoin and then they went into other coins. And then there was a few people who got into Ethereum first and then kind of went other places. But for the most part, Bitcoin, and that's it. And now it looks like there's a lot of people who go straight into NFTs, and that's kind of their entry point to the space. It might be that NFTs are the mass adoption vehicle because it gives people an actual reason to use crypto rather than just the casino, right? Rather than just buy and use, or buy crypto, hold on to it, and then try to spend the crypto, which is like too many steps to just, you know, do that. So do you think there's any merit to that idea?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's another layer as well to it, where crypto and blockchain is interesting for tech nerds and people that like money. You go in there, you want to make money. That's the main reason people get into crypto, and then they fall in love in the tech, or you are in love with the tech and you want to build things, and then you fall in love with the money side as well, or you don't either, you're just there for some random reason. But NFTs, it's the first time my dad ever got interested in any crypto. When I showed him the NFTs and I could discuss these things, he could relate to trading cards back in the 80s. He could relate to hockey cards. He could relate to these things. Even though he thinks it crazy, insane, he could understand what it was, and he had an interest. when we talk about crypto or technology, and this enables global payments and reduce fraud and these kind of things, it's all nonsense. It's boring. It's nothing fun. But if you add some graphics, something like you can't hold it, but you can see it, you can feel it. It is way interesting for most people. It becomes more real. And if you add that to a game, or if you add that to tickets, or if you add that to other things, yes, this is where we will get most new users. And it's probably not in the shape and form we have today. It will be on better marketplaces. It will be on better user experiences. We will have more secure trading for users. We don't want them to actually accidentally enable a smart contract to pull their assets out of their wallet and get wrecked because they hit the wrong button. There need to be a wallet that actually understands majority of these mistakes and prevent that. If you go into a smart contract and that transfers away all your NFTs because it was a phishing site, mm-hmm. we need wallets to prevent that from happening, and that should be done on a wallet level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They should be able to understand, hey, you are sending away all your NFTs. Put up a big warning that has a timer so people actually read it and say, all of your NFTs are being sent, or 50 of your NFTs, is this what you want to do? Wait a few seconds and then hit okay or no. Small things like that is required to add safety for users, and we are not there, so we are not ready for any big adoption yet. If the best wallet we have is MetaMask, we are a long way from any big adoption.
Yeah, well, hopefully people are going to be building all bear market long, and they'll have something cool for when the next pop of people comes off.
Yeah, it has been like that the last few times. So I'm really looking forward to being calm for a bit. And it do feel like, based on the last few days, that it might be a bear market incoming, but we will see.
Yeah, we definitely will see. Well, this has been a very educational chat. Where could people find more about you and your work and all the cool stuff you do?
They can go to anio.io, which is Anjo, so year in Spanish, actually, but it's short for any observation. If they Google any observation as one word, they will find it. It is on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Medium, anyobservation.com. You find it on pretty much every place where you can search. And if you want to have like free courses on education for crypto, I'm building more courses right now. It's academy.anio.io, which also is, if you go to anyobservation.com or Google it, you will find it.
All right, fantastic. Well, thanks very much for being on, and hope you have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and donate to support the show by going to my Cointree page. That's cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, and leave a message with your donation. Check out the show's sponsors. Live on Crypto with BitRefill. Buy absolutely anything with crypto with Shop and Bit. Avoid content censorship with Odyssey. Protect your privacy online with NordVPN. Get paid to search with Presearch. All links are in the show notes.